Oh, baby. Right.
Okay, so the first thing that jumped out at me is we start a section called night, which I think is very interesting because it's kind of the darkest time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have what you're looking for right in front of you, but you can't really grasp onto it, I feel like that's the most frustrating, difficult thing in the world, to like be right in front of what you need, can't get it out. I think this is like very befitting to start this section called night. Anyway, we start this chapter 8, where he now asks, how did you get here? And it happened, and she responds, it happened when my father the king threw those words out from his mouth, may the noble one take you. Interesting thing to me is like, here, it sort of brings out like the emes to me, like where Hashem said it, it's happening. It doesn't matter, right, wrong, whatever the case is, it's always, of course, right, but if that's what happened, that's what was said, MS is always going to take precedence. It's going to happen. And this is a place of no good. So the viceroy told her that her father was so much pain, and he's searching for her for many years, and he's trying to find out, how can I get you out of here? And she says, it is impossible to get me out unless you choose to stay here for yourself, to stay here in my place for a full year. And it's one of the things that like right away confused me about this chapter was like, she's the queen, but she can't leave. She can't get out. Does she have no power? Like what's happening with this whole section that she's became the queen, but she's a prisoner as the queen.
Right.
So that kind of like really like threw me for a whirl. Like what is the power here that if you're the queen, but you can't really do anything? Even though everyone's excited and she's the power.
You know the muscle of the golden cage? The idea is that a person who has every beautiful thing around them is completely surrounded by beauty and everything, but it's a golden cage. It's like he's still locked in. It's just you have everything you want to accept to leave.
And except the freedom. Stuck
there, except freedom, right. It's a very powerful muscle of like...
And here, that fits very well with what we're talking about, right? Like she's in the Palace of Evil, what we're calling the Palace of Evil, right? So, like, it is mamish the golden cage. There's the beauty there, the seder, the order, the music. It's all set up for you. The food.
Exactly, and you're in control
of
your...
the Yetzirah. That's not me.
It's...
I can't do that.
I can't leave. This is exactly where I fit.
This is me.
This is who I am.
Right.
This is who I am. This is who I am.
Are you saying Yetzer Tov is an identity crisis?
Yetzer and Yetzer Tov?
No, Yetzer Tov. Because your Yetzer is what you identify with. Yetzer Tov is your identity crisis. That's what it sounds like.
What do you mean?
It's trying to break your identifying with Yetzer Hara.
I don't
know if it's trying. Who's the truth? Who's the real you?
But where do we have a difficulty separating from the Yetzer Tov or the Yetzer Hara? Or is it both?
Depends who.
Okay.
That's
the goal.
Hashem Nesat to be. Are you familiar with that question? Hashem Nesat to be. The Neshama that you put inside of me. Who's the me? Who's the me?
Good
question.
But that's changes. The struggle.
Your definition of who you are changes. That's the hardest thing to change.
And she's like defining herself as, what do you mean? I'm the queen of this place. I'm not leaving. Right. Everything's perfect here. Something's,
really.
You're right. Something's nagging her.
That's not what she's saying. She's not leaving. She can't leave.
That's right.
She can't leave?
She wants to leave, yeah.
She said it's impossible, right? That's part of the story.
Well, it's impossible to get me out of here.
Yeah, you need to do... You need to do tasks to get me to leave.
It's a big inyan. Like, why the story? You. Why does Rabbi Nachman tell us that you have to do tasks in order to rescue the princess? Why do you have to do tasks? Why can't you just smash and grab, like San Francisco? Why can't you just break down the front door? 20 hoodlums, maybe, come through and get in there with a SWAT team. Why isn't that the answer to getting her, right? Like, that's something I think, I don't know, for me, it's something that I'm thinking about a lot. Like, in the Derech Hashem, in Avodas Hashem, so your princess is lost. Your princess is out of the castle. Your malchus is lost, right? Like your energy, your focus, your connection, all those words that we're using is lost. And now you're trying to get it back. Why can't you just go grab it back?
So it won't stay with you.
Because it'll like slip out of your fingers almost, meaning you're saying.
It's always going to, running out like that. Meaning for the viceroy, it's easy. I haven't been here long. I haven't really made friends here. I have nothing. There's nothing here for me.
Sitting in the corner.
But like now, like I've been in Houston for like 10 years. I can just get up and...
No, that's not why it's easy for the viceroy though. Excuse
me. So what I'm saying is it's hard for me to like just leave. I know the story is a little bit different. I'm not trying to explain the story. I'm trying to explain my own concept of this. Is like getting up and just leaving is very difficult.
Right.
Right? Come here and see what it's like for me to leave, and then when I come with you, we'll walk as equal partners, understanding how difficult it is to leave what I have.
Right. Like something like if I can't just change who I am. Like this is my identity. I'm the queen of this place, right? I myself have a bad midah. I can't just wake up one day and say like, okay, I don't get angry anymore. Like you have to
work on it.
A part of you has to be working on it while a part of you is still stuck in kas. So if you would separate yourself into two characters and write a story, you'd write about a viceroy and a princess, but it's all inside of you. Right? So a part of you has to be make the decision to practice not getting angry when something happens. A part of you has to practice that, work on that, in order to eventually redeem that part of you that gets angry, or that side of you, if you wanted to separate it. But in order for you not to get angry, just cut out the parts. You have to work on changing from being stuck in the palace of evil. You got to work on that. Right? It's not a smash and grab. It's not a decision. Today, I'm no longer getting angry. How long does it last? Right? Like you said. How long does it last? Like
you, I don't know. Why is it not a decision like that?
Meaning it could be, but the likeliness is not going to stay.
There's such an idea as quitting cold turkey, right?
Right. That's what.
But does it last?
It doesn't work with everything.
When it comes to cigarettes, that's the only way.
Sort me around and I'll say tight.
There's another thing that makes it difficult. It's because a lot of it's psychological and a lot of it's in your head. The queen realizes that she's the total energy of the place. So she chaps her chashivas. And there's a fear factor of like being taken out and then I lose who my...
Then why does she make a deal then?
I'm saying it's a challenge. It's part of the challenge.
Because of what he tells her. Because what he tells her is that you're central to the other kingdom. You. Right.
That itself changes.
So, like, this is your way of saying prove it?
I don't know. I'm just.
No, I think she truly believes maybe. That. Meaning he already got over that hump by telling her that.
Maybe that's your way of saying. You really think I'm essential? Do this for a year and that'll prove that I'm really that essential.
No.
Is she saying prove it, or is she saying if we want lasting change, if I am to be rescued, then I need to be. You need to. So there's two elements. You need to have a place and a year.
Smoking mushroom is not a good mushroom, because the guy who quits cold turkey doesn't pick up a cigarette 3 years down the road because of him quitting cold turkey. He put things in place that he's not going to put himself in situations where he's going to need that cigarette or have to have that cigarette. So he's not going to hang around with guys that smoke. He's going to have nicotine patches or whatever it is. The cold turkey might be the first step, and that might be that conversation of, yeah, I need you to do A so that I could quit cold turkey and get out of this place. But in order for it to last, there needs to be a plan in place for anything. Input any one of your struggles into the sentence.
Yeah.
Oh, this is where it gets confusing, the story.
Okay.
This part.
What part? Things this don't fit the way...
Meaning he comes to save the day, sits in the corner, she's like, you know I am? He's like, yeah, let's get out of here.
Right.
And she's like, it doesn't work like that.
We can't.
Because it's...
Right.
It's
can't. That's what we're just saying.
You don't
why?
Relate to that. All right.
Can I change something? Can I change the parameters here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You get this fantastic job that's paying you $200,000 a year. And someone comes to you and say, hey, you're needed in Haimish to learn Torah. We need you here. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I can just get up and walk away.
Yeah.
It's not a hard, it's not an easy thing to just say, hey, I'm doing good here.
No, but that's if the person's not searching. The queen is doing the pu'ul over here. It's not the viceroy.
The queen is doing the pu'ul.
Yeah, she goes over, you know what I mean.
Person. It's everyone's internal struggle. This is a conversation everyone that's in touch with their growth or any type of change they wanted to have has this conversation within. I want to no longer get angry, but I was born with an angry mentality. That's the queen telling her, but deep down, I want
to
change that.
I'm not arguing that point. Okay. All I'm saying is, to his point, was he saying, why isn't this a smash and grab? Why isn't this like a save the day, come rescue? Because somebody who's coming to you and saying, we need you here, doesn't mean you're just going to quit your job to come here.
I'm not coming because it's not me. It's too hard for me. I don't want to.
But
I like
she seems she wants
what to. What if I'm a... The,
right.
The, I don't know if she wants to.
No, the truth wants only, to. The viceroy wants to.
Only... Again. Also, only after he tells her who she really is and that the king is still searching for her after all these years, does she even consider a different reality. Meaning she's given up on ever getting back to the palace.
I understand.
Right? Isn't that the flow? So meaning
right.
He's saying...
It's Tzaddik that woke it up to her.
Yeah.
The idea that she can, you know, something, I don't have to be here.
I don't have to be the life of the party here. I'm wanted and needed to be the life of the party by my father. Who I really want to be. He's just reminding her of what she already knows, but... Like Ari said, I mean, he's really bad at some convincing her, right, that's where you need to be.
Okay, but it's not just a simple, I can leave because I need to be there.
Correct. But even after the convincing, something else needs to happen besides for being convinced. Something else within us needs to happen in order to make the decision to rescue the princess, right? Or for the princess to be rescued. To make the decision to live... connected to Hashem, something else needs to change. What is it? And that's the rest of the story, is what needs to happen, the steps that need to happen. And obviously the challenges inherent in going through that process. But that's what Rabbi Nachman's telling us in this part of the story is she needs to be convinced that it's even worthwhile to explore the idea of ever getting out. And once she's convinced, right? Once she's convinced by what? What convinces her?
Her father's in pain. I mean,
what convinces her? Meaning, right? But what convinces her? Not a missing sign on the wall, right? Not or loudspeakers in the street. What convinces her is something internally.
The truth
is the fact that she is still remains connected to Hashem. Is that the viceroy is still looking for her? That your pintaliyid is still there. It's still, there's something there.
It's, first of all, it's like the in this line, he's like, how'd you get here? And she answers, because of what my father, the king said. And this place, it's loitai. There's a certain hakara that's happening in this line. She's aware, she chaps, and all this.
So it's not that she doesn't want to leave. She wants to leave, you're saying.
Yeah, but she chaps the futility of her excitement for this world, what she brings to the table for this whole place. The etzem, it's a bunch of baloney. There's nothing really here for me. And I chaps that. That's the beginning of movement out of there.
Right. But what's fighting against her is the yish that she has. Is the fact that she says, okay, but this is no good, but I don't have a place back in the kingdom. Right? Back in the palace.
That's what he comes to
convince her.
That information.
Right.
Fine, but now that she knows this.
Okay.
It's not that she doesn't want to leave.
No, now that she knows the fact that the king is still searching for her after all these years. And that there's a place for her there. Now she definitely wants
out.
But to extricate herself from how enmeshed she is in this existence and this reality is just, she can't simply separate herself and walk out. That was what we were saying about like a bad Niga. It is who you are, right? Or a bad Avera, or any Avera, or any Hanhaga.
Why do you feel like he had to ask her, how do I take you out? I mean, is that a normal thing in the story? Like,
how can I get you out?
As a queen?
Like, I'm the guy who came to save you and redeem you and free you. And I'm asking you, how do I get you out of here?
Because you need to want to change. Otherwise, you can't change.
But this is not the Pentel. The Pentel Yud is that. This Pentel is just the...
Pentel Yud doesn't change.
I know that. But this is not the excitement part of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you're searching for. We've been searching for this excitement, this youthful, mm-hmm. enthusiasm. Yeah, thank you. That's a great word for it, right? That kind of like... I mean, that changes, yes, but... You're like that can really go like 360 and like you can go 180 and back like in moments. So why is it so difficult to just say, let's go, let's get out of here, let's find something else for you? This is a huge.
She doesn't want to. She says,
but it doesn't have its own. Is that its own like?
She said she wants to stay.
Feeling is that
she,
is that?
She says, well, she's the queen. She feels restricted to dropping it and going because she has other enthusiasm elsewhere.
So this is basically part of you that's excited for other things like playing poker.
Yeah.
Too enmeshed in poker, I can't just get up and
meet. It's part of who you are. You want to talk about poker? It's part of who part of who we are,
but
right?
But then how are we saying this is never going to go back there?
So what?
How are you saying that this is never going to go back there?
How do I know for sure that it's not?
How are we saying that this is never going to go back to something that's so that's so embedded in part of your life that you just going to say like
tasks.
by going through, here's the line on page 160. The lost okay, I'm going to skip straight to the line for those who don't read or hear when someone reads. Instead, the plan must consist of spiritual guidelines to be carried out by the Jewish person with the aid of the confidence emanating from the inner tzaddik, from that Pintel Yid.
But who's doing the tasks?
The person is.
The Vayitzra is really the person?
Yes, of course. Yeah, it's all inside a person.
What? It's always been.
I know, but at some point early in the story, they were two distinct characters.
They need to be again.
They are not. They are not, but it's the power of the viceroy that allows
you. How do you get through the rest of the story if they don't?
It has to all consist in the same person. The story is just a mushel, right?
Obviously.
Okay, so then we have to be able to get over the fact that really these are enmeshed parts within the same person. They are connected to each other.
So,
but the person themselves needs to go through. Listen, three words. The plan to free her must consist, in order to get your excitement for Judaism back, it must consist of spiritual guidelines to be carried out by the Jewish person.
Do you feel that what he's saying here is that your Pintel Yid is kind of on the sidelines, not really in motion,
mm-hmm.
when you have this excitement and passion and connection with Hashem? It's not even in play?
It's what inspires the goal of being excited for Judaism.
No, I'm saying when you have that excitement and you have that really full excitement, I'm so excited for Chanukah, I'm so excited for Purim, I have this really strong excitement, is the Pintel Yid just sitting on the sideline? Not doing anything.
Well, you're activating.
No, he's fully activated. He's fully activated.
So
he's not just a little candle, he's a burning, boiling, hot, flaming bonfire.
Isaac, at a certain point, your Pintel Yid is so activated that it becomes always a fire.
That's
what it is.
No, I'm okay. That's what I'm trying to like.
I think that's what they meant.
That's what we're trying to do.
Every Yid can be a fire. Some Yids.
But do you hear that? Do you hear
that?
It's like
no. Based on how the story is set up, you're not
interested. Every Yid is a tzaddik.
You lose.
But to be a fire, you need to activate Pintel.
So why?
That's when it becomes activated.
Why? Because while in the story, while she's still in the kingdom, the Pintel Yid is right there with her, helping her out, keeping her going. Everything's good. But at the moment that she is lost from the kingdom, now it's what is going to rescue you? What is still there? What can we hold on to? What is still there? You can't just pick yourself up from wherever you ended up, which we find out now is in the palace of evil. You can't. It's very, very difficult to just pick yourself up and walk, waltz out. You need inspiration from something.
Fine.
From another part of you.
Now in this muscle,
yes.
All parts of you are leaving the kingdom of Hellish Brahma.
Yes, yes.
And now you're, meaning, what?
Together in a carriage. In a horse-drawn
great, so
royal
so
carriage.
Is that the right move to like leave altogether and maybe have a chance of not even coming back? Or do you still do the motions and do what? Meaning, the way I look at it is right now, right? Okay, I'm not excited for anything Judaism. But I'm just gonna do what I have to do. Okay, I'm gonna put on my tefillin. I'm gonna say the bracha. Okay, eventually I'll say my bar. It makes more sense to completely leave that. In the sense, you know, walk out of any connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and try to find that excitement in a chance that you may never return.
So I think the baseline...
I think it's the other way around.
Yeah, I think...
Explain it.
I'll tell you what I'm understanding from this. Is that when her saying there's only one way out of this situation is find a place. That's what she says.
Work on it.
Choose a place. Get something. Get an anchor in your life that's you. That's you. That's yours. You're kind of, whatever it is, I don't care, rain or shine, this is my place.
Okay? I was referring to the beginning when he left. That's why I was...
Which part?
I think to understand that, I want to get to the place, but I think to understand, to answer like straight this... I think the baseline of the story, the princess is lost, but the guy's still going to Shacharis. The princess is lost, but the guy's still learning. The princess is lost, but he's still raising from kids. The princess is lost, but he's still keeping Shabbos.
So what is it?
Meaning this is talking to from people.
Okay.
To us from people, right?
So we still have some connection. We still have some telephone.
You're still doing stuff. You're still
call the king. We have a telephone that we can call him. But we're looking for that. In this world.
You hear that? That's what it means, the princess being lost means, don't forget, this is all on the baseline within halacha we're talking about. A person, let's say, who is keeping halacha. But there's something in there that's not in the kingdom anymore. It doesn't function within the kingdom. And the only way to activate that fully, to wake it up, is through a shining from the knowledge that my connection to Hashem can never break. That's what the viceroy screams every single day, is that my connection to the king and my father can never break.
But doesn't have the energy until he recaptures it.
And his job is to use that as motivation and inspiration to then get the energy. Exactly.
The assumption that he's going to get it back at the end.
Exactly. That's the assumption.
It's all happening within ourselves.
Right.
I understand. So where is the kingdom? Where is the kingdom within ourselves?
What?
Judaism.
The no good?
No.
The world?
No.
Judaism?
No. The kingdom. The Hashem's kingdom.
The kingdom is life. The world. Life.
Life.
Life. There's different palaces in life, right?
You're the king of Isaac Herb's world.
Great. But we're not talking about the same king here. That throughout the... Again, fine. Life is the kingdom. Yeah?
Where is your consciousness? Is your consciousness with the kingdom of God? Is your consciousness with the kingdom of the no good one? Very simple.
But
you want to know how
switch.
To tell? I'll tell you how to tell.
Yeah.
Where's your excitement right now? What's getting you excited in life?
And it could be...
Okay.
Don't answer.
No. Clearly I didn't. I don't do that on recording.
Isaac, if you would have said something quicker, you would have said answer. You waited way too long. He's like, give it a year. And then
it's important, like every week, to point out, like, this is... We're getting stuck in the story.
Right.
No, but it
right.
was facing
but
it.
But here we're bringing out...
What's
also,
wrong with being stuck in it? You have to understand the muscles to understand the nimshel.
It's true, but you
that
can't... You can't...
You have to realize that the viceroy is also the princess.
But it's also... Honestly, I think it's Mashiach and our...
There are some that say...
Our interpretations
are like that. A lot of elements.
The other interpretation is that the viceroy
100%.
Is a tzaddik. Like,
yeah, there are a lot of things that we're missing then if we just focus on that.
But those are really all... It's tachlis. Those are really...
One and the same thing.
Call it whatever mushel you want. Call it a vicer, call it a shayach, call it a tzaddik, call it your pinzli in. The point of this interpretation, but that understand the difference in interpreting it this way, which is the way it seems like many of the Breslover Mashpiim interpreted it previously, before this book. The way of interpreting this is that the tools of the redemption, the geula, mm-hmm. on a personal level, those tools are contained within you.
Right.
Right? Meaning... It's not, oh my gosh, I better find a tzaddik who can redeem me.
The vicer is the pencil yid and the princess is enthusiasm?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Yes. Sorry. Yes. Those are two elements that are inside of us.
The vicer is not from the princess, it says from the tzaddik.
Correct.
The tzaddik meaning his own pencil
yid. Yeah.
So the confidence is in the vicer.
Confidence is within you. Yeah, exactly, exactly, exactly. Mamish.
Confidence.
That's
a good line.
The confidence is, the confidence to redeem is within you. The thing that needs to be redeemed is also within you, except that it's now powering all sorts of other stuff.
Okay. That's how you that word identifying.
That's mamish where
it's
we are.
Your energy is identifying, meaning your, what consists of your energy within you is identifying with the secular or the selfish or whatever term you want to use, pursuits, negative pursuits in life, and it's not identifying
worldly pursuits.
But it could be like multiple
could be worldly
things.
Pursuits, right? Whatever it could be things, just going to work.
It could be multiple things.
100%. And by the way, it could change also, besides for your point, which is a very strong point, is that what do you mean? I'm sometimes excited about this, sometimes excited about this, and sometimes at the same time I'm excited about Avera, full Avera. I'm excited to do Avera, and I'm excited to do Mitzvah. So it could be. It could be.
You gotta isolate that Avera and need to liberate it from.
Correct. But that's why I think it's so, like, if you had to call this, that's why this is exactly the story of our lives, is because it is, we're so familiar with this process, and don't think about it either on like a linear scale where like the book and the story are going to follow the steps exactly as you need to follow them. We talked about this when we talked about desert, right?
Desert, yeah.
Is that like sometimes you're floating, flying, and then not necessarily do you drop back down to a desert, but sometimes you're in the middle level. Sometimes you're like... There's this. It's all jumbled up, but all of the elements that we'll encounter are there, and we're intimately familiar with these struggles in different areas. And that's the power. What Rabbi Nachman was saying is that nothing else worked. I'm going to tell you a story because the story is everything that I need to tell you.
This is a mirror, essentially. It's meant to be a mirror.
Exactly. And if you were calling a mirror a book, you'd call it the story of our lives. Yes, 100%. So, but I think that line is important. And then we get to the what Rabbi Nagel was saying. Can you say that again about space and what does it mean that she's telling him that you need to make a place for yourself, right? This is almost essentially, you know, there's more challenges to come, but essentially this is the first of the two challenges is in order to meet the challenges, you need to create a space and time, two elements, right? So what were you saying about space, about?
It's creating an anchor. That's why I see it. An anchor means that you have something that you're holding on to strong, that come what may, you're there. It's my place. It's going to be for an extended period of time, for a year, but you're like locking yourself into this place that you're choosing. And what one of the amazing things is, no matter where it is, it's not the point. The point is I have something that's an anchor, that's like holding me strong, that I'm sticking to. Whatever it might be, each person is different. And that's, to me, can be a lot of things. I don't know exactly where you're going to go with this, but that's like a crucial thing to start developing enthusiasm in anything is when I have a place that I can call my place. Then there's an ability to draw the enthusiasm to there. Yes, it creates like a magnet. It creates some sort of draw to it because of how important it is in my life. You understand? That's what That's how I'm reading it.
Well, like, yeah, no, no, 100%. I think in only in slightly different words, you would say also that if you want, if you're trying to create something, which is the way he puts it, an intimate relationship with the master of the world, you're trying to create that. Imagine that as a building that you're trying to create and fill with amazing things. So if you're trying to create that, you need a foundation. So there need, and the foundation needs to be stable. So
I'm not understanding that. Why does it have to be in a no good palace?
She doesn't say that. Read it again.
Did I misunderstand that?
Yeah. When you read it, it was a question. If I wasn't sure, it's impossible to get me out of here unless you choose for yourself a place and remain there for a full year.
Doesn't matter where.
Find a place.
Not here.
Find a place. Yeah.
Like, not here. Not there.
This spans now. We're already like traversing time and space, right?
Okay.
But she says for a year of time, you need to have a foundation in order to build on. And the foundation is what is going to give everything that you do afterwards is going to give it stability. There's going to be future challenges. And I'm going to coach you on those challenges and what you need to do to overcome them. That's what she's saying to him. But there needs to be a foundation.
Can this have any way reference like Rosh Hashanah? Of being like, you have to get through like a year and really like sort of like purify or just
maybe. I don't know, but she sounds like she's saying a full year,
right? But like because
like a year of time.
Because at any point, Rosh Hashanah has to pass within that year. Meaning you have to be at a point where you've completely
disconnected from the past, maybe.
Well, I don't know. I'm wondering if there's any like.
Yeah, it could be.
Why specifically?
It sounds like Yom Kippur. She says fast 24 hours in the next chapter.
Well, no, I don't know that.
Spoil it.
it is interesting. Just a note, and maybe he talks about it. That it's interesting that she's setting the parameters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything to this. I think we're overreading into what the tasks are.
We are, or he is. We
are both. Well, I think the idea is that there are tasks, however the tasks are. It's part of the story. It's a filler.
No.
Okay.
Why not?
Okay. Yeah. But we could all agree that we don't agree with you.
Hold on.
We agreed to this.
Hold on.
Explain why not.
Well, because the reason why he told the story was to tell them lessons, so why would he just fill it with meaningless facts?
The fact is that there's a year that's going to go by and you're going to always mess up at the last minute. It's not the story of what the task was.
Right now, this is before you even doing something and messing it up.
About Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The year is a year.
Why a year?
It's a random number. That's why.
Why not? You got to do that for 2 weeks.
What you're saying is that there's no significance for choosing a place. In that line,
that's
not the significance.
But more than that, why a year? Why 6 months? Because that's what you say. It takes a year. In the, just like today, we would say next year. In the 1700s, they also said next year.
What if somewhere else, in Rabbi Nachman,
play some time.
What if he talks about changing some real change takes a full year? What if he talks about that? Then he's probably alluding to that by saying a year, or he's still just choosing a year.
Well, it's not the year that bothers you; it's the place or both.
It's both. The idea is that at the end. But it's always the last minute
Ari,
that grabs.
He doesn't specify a place.
Yeah, but why are the challenges such that they are?
That's the story that's speaking to you. That's
Ari, he doesn't specify a place.
What?
Ari, he doesn't specify a place.
As soon as you want to make big changes in your life, something screws gonna happen.
He doesn't specify a place, but he specifies an amount of time.
The worst time also.
He says it takes 1 year.
No, so at the right time. Specified time and not a place.
You're good all year long, you're good.
Sure, that I understand. Yes,
of course.
100% the truth.
But why do you think we always use a year as a generic number? Do you think that's an accident that it started like that? Why did Hashem set everything in a year? Everything's a calendar, cycle. Everything's a year.
I never thought into it.
I think that's what we say next year.
The Havdalah Lekoyim say the same thing. New Year's resolutions.
They recognize that.
It's a period of time that shows significance.
That's also the truth.
There's significance to the period of time of a year. It's not
But you don't want to know what the significance is.
Well, not 7 years. Good as that.
What do you mean? Who said there's significance?
You just said there is.
The significance is not that you go.
No, that doesn't mean that's. That's how you speak English. The significance of a year is a year. That's how.
Go through
it has to be that that's what. Okay. It
then why wouldn't you just say choose for yourself a place? Like, why even add the words?
And spend some time.
What do you mean choose yourself? Because
just wait the year. Why not just call?
Because
wait
to show
something
the,
in this.
No, to show the end that you always mess up at the end. Without the amount of time, you never see the end. No, you never see the mess up at the end.
Oh, because you have to have something. To
right.
Do it, then you mess up.
Correct.
It's irrelevant what it is.
Correct.
Why can't it be 6 months?
It could have been. And I would also say, you would say, why is it 6 months?
No, but say, spend some time.
Just like it could have been 6 months. Towards the end of that time. Just like I don't think the horse is significant.
Okay, so then did you read at all at the beginning, like no. Why he told us, like, did you read at all?
Why what?
I think it is, because you're saying, none of this is significant.
No, there are many parts that are significant.
Why is he saying the viceroy is significant? Maybe she's just a story about a servant getting a princess.
Who else is going to find the princess?
To my understanding, it's significant.
Oh, okay, very good.
To my understanding, I don't.
Are you saying you don't want to expend the energy trying to figure out what the horse is and what the year is?
Are you trying to reach on the thing or not?
All right.
Exactly. Good question. The chinuch brings down is brought down to the Torah. What do you mean?
It's why a year. It should be 6 months.
Right. Maybe you should ask every chassan.
Good kasha. I am chinuch, and he says.
See, next to the next thing.
No, but that's what there is.
Next thing he says, there's a 24-hour period. Why 20?
That's what I was trying to explain. No, that's what I was trying to explain. It's always the end of the year, the last day. It's a mess up.
Okay, that's also part of it.
Whatever the task was, that's the mess up.
That's also part of it.
The task keeps changing, by the way.
A year of life.
That's also part of it. But but then why not just say, and she gave him a task, and he failed.
You went through
at the end, and you get to your same lesson.
Because a year is when you go through all the Yom Tovim and all the mitzvahs and everything.
That's what I'm asking if there's something about Rosh Hashanah.
That's what he's saying. You have to go through the whole year to get through something.
All right, moving on.
There's something very chashuv about a year that's important to understand. In Chazakas, the reason why there's Chazakas are only established after a year is because of the cycle. There's like. In other words, like a building is not significant unless like made it through all the seasons. You know, like then it's like okay, that's a level. That's like a zat. You know what I'm saying? There's a certain chashivas of having gone through the gamut of experience of the soul year. That's the idea. A year will automatically have the natural. Just like there's a cycle of the year. There's the summertime. There's the winter. There's everything in between. Those things are meaningful because what it means is that you've managed through the ups and downs of a tkufa that's like a tkufa shleima, a full experience, and that's really there's not random here. There's something about
the word,
it. That's what's
in the word chama. It should be shnas chama.
No,
that's a Yiddish year.
Yiddish year has the same has another quality of different things.
Different qualities.
The Yom Tovim,
different qualities.
But it's also the ups and downs of those qualities of the Purim, the Pesach, and the Tisha B'Av also.
Okay. Yom Kippur.
So in the real world,
it was an embryo.
In the real world, if this place is a foundation for what is going to happen, he asks an important question. On 162, in the real world, real, practical, what are some of the elements that constitute this place of spiritual and emotional stability? If that's what she's requiring from him before he starts on his missions, then what is a practical, what is a foundation for spiritual growth? Is a good question. What in our lives, what could we use as examples or choose to do that is a foundation for spiritual growth?
Proper conduct.
You have to start.
Consistency in your conduct. Proper conduct and be consistent for an entire year. Whether it's saying something differently, doing something differently, whatever. I mean, if you do it for an entire year, you've established it.
For an established period of time. All right.
Once you've established it, now you can recapture the enthusiasm for it.
So when we were learning through Siddur, so we did, I think we did Adonai Olam. He just has an Adonai Olam. And years ago, I think I mentioned this then, years ago I had a shiur in Adonai Olam, and it was actually somebody from the community. It's not part of the community anymore, but he actually sat in to see if we're on par, you know, like somebody has experience, whatever. So I was sharing this idea. Anyway, we're learning through it, like whatever pops in your head, you know how you give a shiur. Anyway, I'm saying people who give shiur know how that works. So I'm reading, God is, he's my God. V'chai go'ali, v'tzur chavli be'esara. He's the rock of my difficulty in a time of in a time of pain.
Told you this is my thing.
What?
Yeah.
So what does that mean, tzur chavli? The taich here is very hard to understand. So the what I took to mean is the tzur chavli, the rock of my pain. What does that mean even? That's how they're chaiching. It makes no sense. So I attach the chevel here, it's not the chevel of chavle leida, but it's the chevel of a rope. So you ever tie a rope to something,
keeps you grounded.
It's the thing that's holding me to sanity, whatever. It's the, that's God. The God that's keeping me, just, you know, sometimes I'm hanging on by a mere rope, but there's the rock that holds it fast. That's the mahu.
That's the makom. And that's he brings that out. He says that's even included in the word. When she says, choose for yourself a makom, makom is also used for Hashem's name. It means the, that solid relationship that we have with Hashem, right? Like that solid tzur chevli, right? That Hashem is on the other end of this little string that I'm dangling by, that my life is dangling by a string. I feel like it's very hard to hold it all together. But I know that at the other end of that string, however precarious my situation is, at the other end of that, it's tied to the rock of my tzur chevli, right?
You found something. You can only do it because you're connected to Hashem. It's the only reason you're doing it.
Oh, what?
You found something that you only do because you're connected to Hashem. Because you're asking practically, how does that work?
Yeah.
Is it a mental process? Is it a thought process?
Right, right. That is exactly what I'm asking.
She's asking for him to do something, to make a commitment, and keep that.
But no action.
Yes,
action. Yes, action.
What is space? What is space if it's not action?
Is it
it's,
so? That's
in the realm of space. Yeah, right. It's an action. It's
that's what I want to. That's what I'm. That's what I'm wondering. In this moment, there's no action required. It's just choose a space.
When I'm that's forgetting to look action. Back and see it's
like you said, it's really just binary, space and time.
Could it be something more fundamental than even action? Meaning something, something that needs to change inside of you in order to change, which is going to be the things that you need to do. Meaning that's the tasks or the challenges. But there needs to be a shift in your mindset that needs to take place.
Isn't that hard to maintain for a full year, though?
Is you're going to work on it. Who said? She says you have to work on it. You have to work on this for a year. Choose a place. Make a foundation. What's the foundation of my growth?
The mindset?
The foundation of my growth.
So you're saying a space in your mind.
A space in your mind that says, I have a pintliyid. I am still always, no matter what, connected to Hashem.
You might have that recognition already.
Excellent. You might have gone through before. Believe in it. Now drive it home for yourself.
That's just in degrees. To me, it seems like you're addressing different parts.
No, if you had it, then you'd never fall back in a bad place.
This is the story of your life. It happens all the time. You need to
go. You get into that rework.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe
meaning, what is the first step to grow?
This if you're still happy, then you don't fall.
You're uncovering stuff.
I think you fall in a different area.
Why? Then you need to work on that area.
You always have to remind yourself that you're attached to Hashem. That's it.
Right, Nagel says, bottom line, you have to believe in yourself that you're attached to Hashem. What are you getting upset about?
It's so funny that you picked that, because like he said, you have to pick something.
Why?
From Dominic, during Dominic, to like focus on. It's so funny that you picked that, because it was like it's such a beautiful prayer. Like Adon Olam, it's like everything is like just so nicely organized.
It is. But this is—it's that shift. It's that shift that decision that you make.
It's not bad.
No, but like kind of like that specific line. Just the way I looked at it was always like I need something hard to like hold on to when like I'm confused, when like it's I'm awesome. In pain and I'm spiraling out of control. I know this is always like when you're dizzy, you grab onto something stable, right? Because like you want to get your balance back. And that's what I always looked at. Like,
no. So funny. Commercial.
So on the most basic level,
push you to the floor. Because I'm unstable.
I think.
It doesn't seem to describe it as mindset. You have to grab.
For sure.
As an actual place.
No, 162, 163. Read that.
You grab me before
the bottom 162. The last line before the new paragraph of 162. Meaning, therefore, on the most basic level, finding a place in the world means definitively resolving to grow and to change our ways. You have to, number one, make a decision.
Oh, that's the most basic.
Okay, well, most basic. Now, deeper level that he brings out is the idea of Hamakom, is that I'm connected to Hashem, and I have a place by Hashem, right? Which is why, by the way, we say Hamakom. We use that name of Hashem when you go to a Shiva house. Why don't you say Hashem, right? Hashem should be Menachem you. Why do we say Hamakom should be Menachem you? It is exactly the same idea, is that you have a place by Hashem. As much as your world feels like it's spiraling out of control, there's stability, there's Hamakom.
I thought that Hashem fills every place.
That's another idea. That's very nice. That's another idea. But the idea that we're bringing out from Hamakom here is stability. It's the same thing, what you just said. Hashem fills every place means that no matter where you are, there's stability. Hashem is there. Okay. Right? Same idea, said in different words. And then a third level that he brings out over here is that what she tells him is bocher lecha, is that you have to choose. Right? Inherent, we thought that this was not even a task, that this is just setting up for a task or a challenge, right? A tough mutter run, right? This is just setting up for it. And he's saying on the deepest level, when she tells him, bocher, choose, what she's telling him is, start making choices again. The only way to get back what you're missing in Judaism is to start making choices, said in a different way, is to start engaging in the battle. Start actually engaging in it.
Who needs to make the loss?
Okay.
That's where I'm confused.
You do! It's all inside of you. What do you mean?
It's a huge nakuda. I tried to point out earlier.
Yeah.
It's very interesting that she's the one dictating terms to the viceroy.
Uh-huh.
When the viceroy is the pintaliyat.
Right.
It should be the opposite, if you would think.
Correct.
So what's going on?
What was the answer that we already said? What you said it. You yelled it. Is that it's all inside of you. So there's a part of you that needs to be redeemed. And there's a part of you that has the power to redeem.
Who knows how to get them out of that?
Who knows?
The point
is, the one who's stuck there, or is the one who's trying to get them out? The one who got in there in the first place.
She's talking to herself. She's not really talking to the viceroy.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. So you say, forget the story now. You say to yourself.
She's talking to herself through the Bible.
Good. Exactly. So you say to yourself, in order to actually change,
this is what I need.
You have to start practicing something. You have to start practicing something called making conscious choices. I've literally gone through times in my own life where I was not making any choices. It involved a lot of sin. Right? Because when you're drawn to something, you just go do it. It wasn't even like I was choosing to do the wrong things. It was just the function of who I was, what my environment was.
Do you really?
And I was just doing those things.
I choose to call it Jack for it.
But
that's just not a matter.
But you are, you end up.
No, but that's the Pentelier telling you, call. You know,
that's the Ari with the little devil horns. Do it.
This level is like so.
Don't get insulted that he looks at you as a guitar.
By the way, it's amazing. I feel empowered.
He's my rock. I can always look at him and say, I'm not that. So I'm fuck, Jim, I can get better.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of people in the world
so funny,
that go through life without making any choices.
This, like,
Full halacha.
There's no every day's a choice. That's not true.
Full halacha.
Full halacha. No, they're keeping everything. But they're never engaging the choice. They're never choosing it. And that's the first thing that she tells him to do is, if you want excitement, then make it intentional. Make this an intentional choice. Yeah.
Where you have to actually do the action of doing something and feel this. Go through the steps of doing.
He's very interesting.
Yeah, do it. Change yourself. Do it in order to change yourself. Make the choice to daven. Meaning, she's talking. This internal conversation is happening in a person who's keeping full halacha, is keeping Shabbos, is raising a frum family, is happily married, right? At least on paper, right? It's talking to that person. You want to know how to find the enjoyment, the excitement, the exuberance, the youthful passion? You want to know how to find that relationship, that intimate relationship with Hashem? Then start choosing it. Start being an intentional Jew. Do it because you chose to do it. Daven, not because it's
you must
the time. Forget about, you're right. You must can keep you in some very dark times. It can keep you on the straight and narrow. But if the extent of your Judaism is social obligation or even religious obligation, that's the extent of your relationship with Hashem, it's shallow and missing the princess. You're missing a fundamental element to your in Yiddishkeit. And what she's telling him is the bottom layer of everything is to actually choose to do these things. Right? You go back to mitzvahs
anashim milimada. Are you saying not to feel forced, or you're saying to want? Because there's a big difference. I mean,
work on.
It's not. More than just want. Because right. I'm making a conscious decision. Why am I getting out of my bed now to go to shul? Why? Because I choose to. Doesn't even mean I want to.
Right.
But it means that I'm actively making a decision, and I'm acting on that decision.
There are plenty of times that direction where you're, again, you're on autopilot, and you're just like, okay, I'm it's mental time.
It's Friday night. I'm going to shul. All
right. That's like the big. Meaning, it would seem to me
that that's a beauty of choice. It keeps growing to something. Like, so the next thing, the thing that's not your choice anymore, is part of your life, and then the other level is the choice. So, like, I don't miss minion at ever. Okay, but there are things that I do mess up on. That I don't always, I'm not learning 24/7. So, like, I choose to like. Right now, I'm tired. I'm really not in the mood. Okay, but I'm going to choose to.
Look at the quote on it. It's 164.
Yeah.
Or 165.
Yeah.
Rav Nosson. And then also the quote from our quote. He says it's deeper than that.
Yeah. One of the foundations of tshuva in the mind of a person is the recognition of culpability for his actions.
Right.
Which is an extension of one's faith in his ability to choose freely.
In other words, you don't have to start by saying what I'm about to do right now. You don't have to have that mental passage. Just look back on your previous actions. If you accept responsibility for that, then you're on the first step.
Inherent in that is, I have the ability to make choices.
Yeah, you don't have to think. It might be hard to say, what am I doing right now? Am I choosing or not?
Right.
You might fall into that trap. But just look back on the thing you did yesterday.
But you take responsibility.
Recognize, and you have to recognize. That's what he's saying. The truth is, you did have choice.
Right.
You went to shul. Or you didn't go to shul. You had choice.
Right.
Again.
Recognize that.
It's
not somebody else's.
So the choice, because again, what we're talking about, kind of, it seems to me like it's conflicting. Because you're saying, the guy is living a full frum life, right? Like, whatever, okay?
Could be.
And this is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Puts on tefillin every day. Mm-hmm. Right? So let's just talk about tefillin, okay? I'm already putting on tefillin.
Good.
I'm already making that choice. I'm not making anything different. I'm looking at it as something that you weren't doing to now choose to do it. Not even want to do it. Just choose to do it. Even if you don't want to. That's how I'm understanding this part of it. Meaning, make that choice to do it. Even if you don't want to, do it. To like set the foundation. For example, I don't bench after I wash, right? So now I'm setting the foundation that I'm going to now bench. Even though I don't want to, I'm going to push myself to do it. And then the want is going to come. And then the desire.
It's even easier than that. It's easier than that. Just look back on the times that you missed it and say, I accept responsibility for that. That was my fault.
I get that.
You're giving him advice on how to deal with his
problem. That doesn't mean I'm going to choose to do it tomorrow. That
is Vidoy. Why is Vidoy right. part of Tshuva? Because it means that from here on out, I could choose to do different.
Of course, it's my fault. I don't blame myself for not
convention.
But focus on that. He's not saying those and words because they're important. And not even somebody
else. Like, focus that it was my Bechira yesterday. I could have made the choice.
That's right. Not what
I feel like you couldn't have because you were pressed for time. Yeah,
but
this
but we'll have it. We'll hash it out later.
The first step is admitting you were wrong, right?
We'll hash it
right.
out later. This
but part. He says that's the first way to recognize your Bechira. And then he quotes...
Those quotes are insane.
The whole thing of Vido is all about acknowledging Bechira. And that's the first step in Bechira. Is that you acknowledge that it exists. The
first step in...
You gotta right. exist. Yeah, in other words, yeah. to be a chooser, you have to recognize that choices exist. And even bad choices that I did were choices that existed. That's a good level to... That's a baseline level of recognition that gets you in the mode of making choices. Decisions. Everything's a decision.
Yes. Everything's a decision. That's what he said. So Rav Nassim says, I heard someone once ask Rav Nachman, how is one to understand free choice? What's Bechira? So the Rebbe answered him with simplicity. Choice is in the hands of man. If he wants, he acts. If he doesn't want, he doesn't act. And says Rav Nassim, I recorded this, for it is very necessary. For there are many people who are extremely confused in this matter, since they are accustomed to acting in certain ways from a very young age. And it therefore appears to them as if they lost their ability to choose and that they can no longer change their ways. But in truth, this is not so, as Rav Nachman was saying. For every person certainly always has free choice regarding every aspect of life. And if he wants, he acts. Understand these words very well. Whenever he says that, it means you really have to think about it. But that's the...
Sometimes the most simple things are the most difficult to do.
But which is why Vidoy is like becomes a massive part of tshuva, is because it is a massive step to take responsibility and to say, I have Bechira, I had Bechira, I have Bechira, I will have Bechira. That's a foundation. And that's why it's a foundation for finding joy in Judaism and finding connection also in what Isaac is saying is starting to do things that you don't do, but also in stopping to do things, and also
is this
in
what we're talking about. You lost excitement for something,
but you might still do Shabbos, but you don't have any passion for it.
I understand, but this seems more to me like if I'm not excited to do something, I'm not doing it.
That's how most people react nowadays.
That's how I understand it.
That's not what it's saying, though.
I know
but he's
that.
Not saying that.
I know it's not saying that, but it's not saying you're keeping shit. It's not saying you're doing it anyway.
He's saying, no, instead of doing it because I have to do it, I'll tell you a great mashal. This is a beautiful story. I think you can't say it. The Rosh Yeshiva of Itri was a very, very interesting
guy. Korba Elephant?
Rabbi Elephant. He was one of the most interesting people. He was huge masmid in his youth. And when he got older, he just got involved in all kinds of things. But he was a fascinating individual. So one of the Rosh Yeshiva, or like whatever, he's like a Sholem Yeshiva in my Yeshiva. He was saying over a story of Rabbi Elfin. This is Rabbi Elfin was like, he was an investor, he was a businessman. He invested in this guy who invented a machine that takes away the taiva for smoking altogether. And he's like, it's an unbelievable machine. I tried it. So he's telling this Rebbe, you know, the story of how amazing this cures the need for cigarettes altogether. And he says, I tried it. So he's telling him the story while he's chain smoking. So he's chain smoking. And he's saying, I tried the machine. It's the most amazing machine. It's confounding. It works like a charm. It's amazing. And he's smoking. So he had to ask him the obvious question. He's like, I don't understand. You're still smoking, what do you mean? He says, he was waiting for the question. He said, you understand, before I was smoking only because I had to smoke. Now I'm smoking because I want to smoke.
Make an intentional choice.
it's so much more geschmack. I'm choosing to smoke now. Kitzur Maisa, that's to me, the side over here. You could do the same thing anyway. I could choose to keep Shabbos, or I could just do Shabbos because I always do Shabbos. But calls not once you say it's like, I'm not just doing it because I have to do it. I'm doing it because I choose to do it. Changes everything. It opens up the opportunity to be excited about it.
Okay.
That's
fair enough. So doing it, just even acknowledging that I had the choice to do it, and I did it.
Yes.
It's enough of a power to say,
I was in control of that. I didn't just do it because I had to. I did it because I had control to do it.
Yeah.
I could have done that, but I didn't do it.
Yeah. Exactly. It makes it alive. It makes it alive.
I'm proud of that.
Musk. Yeah, I think it's a big mistake. 100%. That was beautiful. That was awesome. Can we do the lessons for life, try to drive this chapter home? Number one, in order for the spiritual healing process to begin, we must believe wholeheartedly that Hashem yearns for our return and is pained over our distance from Him. So that was before she could even believe that she could get out or even think about it. She has to believe that Hashem still wants her back in the palace. A basic prerequisite for freeing the lost princess is the discovery of one's place in the world. A strong sense of identity and stability founded upon a resolve to change and grow. This is the idea of making choices, the idea of Hashem is my makom, I have a relationship, a constant relationship. There are two elements that enable one to begin finding his place in the world. The awareness of Hashem's unconditional love. We have to know that. And belief in one's, I don't think we really believe that. And belief in one's ability to succeed and the ever-present ability to make the right choices in life. I always have that ability. And at the end, she said a year because it takes a full year for lasting spiritual transformation to take place. And he says here, go through the four seasons and the various holidays. Definitely part of the idea. It's not a major part of the story, but it's a nice idea. Definitely when you look back on the year, take stock, like Isaac was saying, Rosh Hashanah, you look back on the year, not only to think about, on Rosh Hashanah, you don't think about Averas, but think about the positive things from the past year.
He says the next thing, they talk about fasting, yeah?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
He says it sounds like Yom Kippur. Maybe.
It sounds like it. It's very interesting, actually.
We'll see. Right? Yeah.
Not only that, it's a 24-hour fast.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Not only that, the last hour, everything tasted smoke delicious.
Okay, very good. Next week, chapter 9. Mirtz Hashem. Next week.